HarperCollins presents The Point of Distraction, written and read by Will Eaves, with music composed by Will Eaves and performed by Richard Utley. For Andrew Frampton. 1. I have been writing music again after years away from the stave and the keyboard. I'm not sure why. I suspect the answer has something to do with the feeling I often have that words push what I want to say away from me, whereas music is like a radio broadcast from a distant galaxy. It comes to me in fragments, bits of code, none of it readily explicable. While it has grammar and organisation, it is not a language. It fills me with a sense of incredible relief. It begins with the sound in my head, often heard on waking, or else a snatch of melody or harmony grasped while I'm doing something else. The trick, then, is to catch some of it on the wing and transcribe it. You might think this is just like any kind of writing. Have an idea, get it down on paper. But for some reason, in words, the results are haunted by all the things I've misunderstood or failed to include, whereas the notes are patient and forgiving, however insistent the potential sound. What is that sound? None of the stuff I write is ever likely to be played. I can't play much of it myself, and other people are too busy. The phrases are hardly virtuoso, but I can see that they're tricky under the fingers, not ideal for pianists or cellists or oboists. And a lot of that awkwardness is a result of inexperience. And some of it is more deliberately unsounded, because written music always occupies a resonant space between idea and realization. It is an everyman's land to which the word theoretical doesn't do justice. Meditation might be nearer the mark. Meditations are composed thought. J.S. Bach's late incomplete masterpiece, The Art of Fugue, 1751, the revised edition, is an essay in composed thought. 14 brilliant theoretical fugues and 4 canons, all in D minor, which can also be played. Angela Hewitt's version for solo piano is wonderful, as is Joanna McGregor's on the same instrument. The composer's wrestling with abstraction comes over in the sound. Each time someone plays it, we hear not just a performance, but a new draft of something that has already been perfected in another realm. Frédéric Chopin's preludes and etudes, by contrast, are so much a part of the playable, though difficult, romantic piano repertoire that it is easy to forget their provenance in a deep reverence for Bach. Everything in Chopin is aimed at a real-world listener, while at the same time being pregnant with almost unrealizable sophistication. Even an early pre-Paris piece, like The Waterfall, Etude Opus 10, No. 1 in C major, 1829, has that lovely balance between planned effect and unsounded homage. The bass, the land under the watery arpeggios, is a kind of hymn. The whole brief cascade could be a Bach chorale prelude. We hear things in our inner world and sound them in the outer one, where those things are different. My first job in journalism was as music editor of What's On in London, a listings magazine stuffed full of sauna ads for which I interviewed Harrison Birtwistle. I wonder if you saw the piece. It was an article about his opera, Gawain, 1991, sandwiched between pages of telephone numbers offering a variety of happy endings in all keys. We chatted for an hour in a little room right at the top of the Royal Opera House. He was very tolerant. I said I'd been to see the English National Opera's Peter Grimes the week before, and he praised the production and performance extensively before admitting that he couldn't get on with the music. He said music that had been too well heard, like Benjamin Britten's, tended not to interest him as much as music in which the composer was still trying.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?